Please open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 5. I'd like to read the last few verses. Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I want to say a few words about verse 14. Solid food is for the mature. John is a mature Christian. There are many kinds of many Christians like John around the world, but we're going to look at this case study, John, to get an example of what a mature Christian is. This will be a portrait of a mature Christian. They seem to be increasingly rare. In many ways, John is no different than just the average person. He's not a pastor, missionary. He doesn't know a single word of Greek or Hebrew, nor has he ever been to seminary. He doesn't come from a Christian family. He's the only Christian in his family. So he's not mature because he was raised that way. And yet John stands out in a crowd, not just a crowd of non-Christians, but among Christians. John stands head and shoulders. He stands out in a crowd. And one wonders why this is so until you take a good look at John. Now, what makes John different and mature is not that he's been a believer for a long time. As a matter of fact, he has outpaced several believers that were Christians before he was. Take, for instance, his Christian sister, Jane. Jane, in fact, led John to the Lord some 10 years ago. John is 30 years old. But Jane has slowed down. She is just living off of milk, whereas John has begun to eat meat and strong food. So it is possible to be a mature believer and outpace and outgrow those that were in Christ before you. Some time ago, John searched through the scriptures for the passages which spoke about spiritual maturity. He had digested them and he put them into practice, and so John has grown remarkably. And by our looking at this example of a mature Christian, we can find out what the scriptures say and we can begin to imitate those examples. Now, mind you, I'm not insinuating that John is perfect by any means. The Bible says, of course, that nobody is perfect until we get to heaven. Nevertheless, there are those that grow more in this level. John, for instance, knows that perfection is not ultimately possible in this life, but that doesn't hold him back. He wants to get all that he can. He's not perfect. Of course, he still sins from time to time. But John has learned to confess and forsake his sins as soon as possible, to get up and to get back going on the right way and not just simply wallow in his sins. He wants to grow, and he's not satisfied with sin. And when he does sin, he learns from his mistakes. Moreover, he learns from the mistakes of other people. And when he does sin, he wonders why. He examines the weaknesses, the causes, the circumstances that led him to sin so that he doesn't have to do that same sin again. John wasn't always like that. He learns from his mistakes. From time to time, John, the mature Christian, examines himself to see where his weaknesses are. Some of his weaknesses are, in fact, carryovers from his pre-Christian life. Other ones are ones that he's picked up in his Christian life, and still other ones have become habits. But he's working in strengthening these weaknesses, and John is making good progress at it. John, however, is not perfect. Now, John learns from the mistakes of others, as I said, but he also learns especially from his own mistakes. Curious phenomenon has occurred in John's life. He has come to realize that the stronger he gets in Christ, the more he is aware of his shortcomings and his weaknesses. It seems that the closer he gets to the light, the more the light exposes the sin in his life. So he says, is this the way it should be? And then he knows that's what it is to be a mature Christian. Now, if you look closely at this man, you'll notice, above all, that he is consistent. He is solid. He is mature. He is established. He's persevering. He has character. He's also very well balanced. He just doesn't swing from extreme to extreme. He's not tossed to and fro, as the scriptures say, by every wind of doctrine. He's established. He's got a certain maturity in character in his life. Part of that balance is maintaining the balance between being active and passive, because earlier on John was all active, but not passive. He would work, but didn't know how to wait upon God. And he'd swing to the other extreme and become lazy rather than active. And so now he learns to be both to work and wait for God. He's not impetuous, he's not lazy. He's neither presumptuous nor skeptical. He tries to keep balance in all things. Now this shows in the way he conducts his life. Psychologically, for instance, he is balanced in mind, emotion, and will. He tries to be equally balanced. He's not just all emotion, he's strength. He's not just all mind, he has emotion as well. So he's balanced. Not long after his conversion, John heard what all new believers hear about the basics of the Christian life. But John has not forgotten them. Some of his other brethren, such as James, said, yes, 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 I know all that about reading the Bible and prayer and witnessing and all that, but she's forgotten it. John, however, has not forgotten those basics of living the Christian life. For example, he does pray regularly. He witnesses for Christ when he can. He follows the Lord Jesus Christ. You can always count on him being in church, and not just at the fun activities, and not just when the fancy suits him. He's always there when the doors are open. You can always count on him at church, and not just attending church, but participating in the life of the church. John knows his gifts, and he uses them. Well, he also knows that meat and vegetables are better for you than dessert and milk. Now, that doesn't mean that he despises fellowship. Quite the contrary. One thing about John, he prefers fellowship with other Christians to friendship in the world. He gets his needs met by being with other Christians, but his main goal is to meet the needs of his fellow Christians. John is a mature Christian. Did I mention his Bible reading? Yes, he reads his Bible every day, as a matter of fact, and not just 5 minutes before he goes to work in the morning. He reads his Bible, but more than that, he studies his Bible. He meditates on it. He looks for ways to put it into practice. He eats meat and not just milk. He also reads good books about the Bible, the best books. He listens to tapes, listens to the best people on the radio. And because of this, he has grown in a certain discernment and wisdom. He is not gullible like he used to be, passing for a mature Christian when he's only swallowing the latest fad. He has exercised a certain discernment and growth. And yet, in spite of all of his advancement in this area, John is well aware that he doesn't know everything there is to know. So he combines his humility and his thirst to make for maturity. Something crucial happened to John some time ago. He gave his discipleship a rest and decided to coast a little while. He camped on a little plateau while climbing to the top of the mountain. And then he got accustomed to that way of life, and it began to show in certain areas of his life. He began to get critical. He began to get nitpicking. And finally, a more mature believer challenged him. Johnny, isn't it about time that you grew up? Why don't you just quit your crying and moaning? You're like a spoiled child in overgrown diapers. Just grow up. Well, that shook John. No more complacency for him. He realized that it was past time for him to grow up. He knew what the Bible says. There's a time to grow up. It says, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. But now that I am a man, I put away childish things. And John said, I want to be a mature believer. I want to be an adult believer. And so he knew it was time to put away the spiritual toys and be weaned off of mother's milk. Now, of course, that didn't come overnight. It was hard for him to put away those toys. A certain amount of spiritual withdrawal symptoms took place in his life. But he says, better to grow up because I realize that that's the only real way to maturity. It didn't come overnight. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of work. They were growing pains. Hard work. Toil. Maturity in the Christian life never comes easy, and it never comes overnight. Well, one may be physically and emotionally mature, even mentally mature, but not spiritually mature. Just like Jane, she's mentally alert, she's emotionally balanced, but spiritually, she's still a babe after all these years. One may be mature in all ways, but still be spiritually very immature. John decided it was time to quit playing at being a Christian. And in so doing, he took a very important step away from spiritual childhood towards spiritual maturity. But he had to go through a certain stage before he got there. You see, you don't just jump from being age 13 to being age 21. He had to go through those teenage years. And while he was a teenager in the Christian faith, he thought he was mature. But then he had to realize that he wasn't. what characterized John's spiritual teenage years? Well, you guessed it. It's the same thing that characterizes teenage years amongst all of us in the natural realm, rebellion. During that stage, John found it difficult to submit to his leaders and to the authorities. He was always griping about that. Well, not anymore. Oh, he still disagrees with his leaders over some things, but he has learned that they are ordained by God for his good, and that is a mark of maturity. Slowly, John has gone from being Johnny in this regard. Before one can lead, he must be led. The best leaders were once the best followers. John became a good follower, and now he is leadership material. John has learned that how one follows one's leaders is a good gauge of his growth in maturity or immaturity. There's nothing mediocre about John. There used to be an idea floating around that being a mature Christian means just being average, not standing out. And John came to see that was just an excuse people were putting forth for being lazy. And so he's outgrown that. He stands out in the crowd. He goes on. So many others, too many others, simply rest on that plateau. Not John. He keeps climbing to the top of the mountain. He passed an important test facing all those that would be grown-up believers. Namely, is he willing to just simply go on and go on, keeping on, or is he ever going to rest and say, this is as far as I want to go? Now, of course, this means that John stands alone. Other believers won't go along with him. John goes where they won't go. He'll do what they do not want to do. He will grow where they do not want to grow. This takes courage in John. It is not easy. Now, other believers, exposed by his strength, sometimes deride him. They'll say, Joe, you think that you're holier than we are. They'll call him Holy Joe. Well, John's hurt when they say that because he wants them to grow as well. But he's not going to let them hold him back. He remembers very early on in his Christian life a line from a certain chorus that went, though none go with me, still I will follow. And he knows that that is true not only in becoming a Christian, but continuing in the spiritual race toward maturity. Others won't go with him, but he's still growing. Now, I don't have to say it again, but John isn't grown. Nobody ever reaches the point where he says, I am grown. But he is mature, and he is continuing to grow. Moreover, John is setting aside anything that would stunt his growth. Others don't. At the end of every year, in the start of a new one, John takes stock. Has he grown in the last 12 months? Is he stronger in any ways than he was at this time last year? Is he making progress? Well, he continues to self-examine himself all year long. And one thing that moves him to this self-examination is by observing the examples of the even more mature believers. And he says, when I see these more mature believers, John says, I feel like I'm a child, but that encourages me to grow even more. And as a result, John has been able to produce an annual crop of spiritual fruit, more and more and more, more love, more joy, more peace, and more patience, all the fruits of the Spirit. I mentioned Jane. Well, Jane's producing only 30-fold. John is producing 60-fold. John's goal is to produce 100-fold and be the most mature believer he can be. Let me tell you about another curious but common phase that John went through on his step toward maturity. Early in his Christian years as a believer, he got the notion that being spiritual simply meant being outgoing in nature. And then he saw that really wasn't true, and then he overreacted and said it means being stoic with your emotions. And he said that's not true either. He realized that God once wanted him to use his spiritual temperament and his personality to God's glory and to be balanced in it. Now, this was closely related to another important lesson John had to learn in his trek from being a child to being mature. It's this. Maturity as a Christian was not a matter of simply feelings, but of faith. He knew that if he really meant to grow up, he had to exercise faith over feelings. So he has walked by faith instead of sight. And the degree to which he does this is in direct proportion to his growth in maturity. There's something else that has a high priority in John's life. Duty. He'll do what he has to do even though he doesn't feel like it. He'll read his Bible when he doesn't feel like it. He'll pray even when he doesn't feel like it. He'll go to church and so forth even when he doesn't feel like it. He realizes that duty outweighs feelings. And he's made significant strides in this area. He is a hard worker. Well, John is neither a legalist nor antinomian. He neither sets aside God's commandments nor beats people over the head with them. He has realized there's a difference between being legalist and antinomian. Obedience has a high place in his life as well. Now, this doesn't make John a loner in his request for rewards. He does realize that the stronger a believer is, the more he will obey. Consequently, more rewards he'll have in heaven. But he's not a loner in this. He's become a very warm, compassionate person. And even Jane senses that John is a man of compassion. John also knows the meaning of sacrifice, sacrificing his comfort for the good of others. He gives more than he gets. Why? Because John puts other people first. All believers can be compared to horses. Once upon a time, John was just a young colt and then a wild Mustang. And then John was broken for the master's use. This usually happens by way of affliction. Now, even Jane had been through affliction, but Jane became bitter as a result and hardened. But affliction has made John sweet, malleable like clay in the master's hands. He has been broken, a sure sign of a mature believer. Sure, there are times that John longs for his spiritual childhood, wants to take out the toys again. Then John has learned that God sometimes lets young believers do certain things as babies that he does not let a mature believer do. He has learned the lesson, others may, you cannot. And by pondering this, he realizes that it is worth the sacrifice and the perseverance. Then there was another time when John was confronted to a higher call of discipleship. Another Christian issued this challenge to him. He says, John, I'm sold out for Jesus. But you? And John had to hang his head in shame and realize he wasn't sold out for Jesus. And so he says, I'm going to be sold out. Now along the way, John realized that nobody is totally sold out for Jesus, but some are more than others. And that's what made the difference. John has also given all diligence to make sure that he is a child of God. And so although occasionally doubts hit him, he knows how to overcome the doubts because he is growing in assurance as well. Now, if someone were to ask John if you were a mature Christian, well, that puts John in a precarious situation. He knows that he is, but he's too humble to admit it. But he's too honest to deny it. So he changes the subject by concentrating on the yet more of the mountain to be climbed. He is always aware there is more ground to cover. Now, John isn't content with being mature. He wants to be a giant. Well, what's the difference in these stages? A childhood is one that always has to be cared for and led and fed. John is now learning to feed himself and then to feed other people. But he looks for that stage of gianthood, for the most mature believers of all, and he wants to be like them. John knows that there is always someone more mature than himself. Now, all this may seem very simple, old-fashioned, even dull. John has toyed with the get-rich-quick schemes, you know, those elevator rides to instant maturity that come overnight. And John says, those don't work overnight. There's no elevator ride. It's a slow, steady climb to the top. He may be spiritual, but he's not super spiritual, as some people claim to be. So he has set aside the spiritual fads. John is also exercising his spiritual muscles. He's not fat. He's not lazy. He eats properly. He's disciplined spiritually, just as much as an Olympic athlete is physically. Now, concluding, John once had trouble with certain spiritual priorities that kept him back. One was that he once had a great love for Jesus, and then he grew cold in his love for Jesus. And then he began to do a diagnosis, a self-examination. He realized that was the main problem keeping him from growing. So he repented, and he rekindled the fires of his first love for the Lord Jesus, and he has continued to grow ever since. If there's one thing that characterizes this mature believer, it's his deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer does he shirk prayer, for instance, because he realizes that prayer is communion with the one he loves the most, the one that loves him the most. If the greatest of the commandments of God is to love God, then it necessarily follows that the greatest maturity that we can ever attain comes by obeying the greatest commands, to love God and to love our neighbors. And that is where John is. He is growing in his love. And as a result, he is humble, he bears fruit, he obeys God's commandments, and all these other things. Is it any surprise that John has grown immensely into conformity with the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ? John died the other day. Someone said that he was martyred because of his unswerving devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Other people said, no, it was because John was burning so much spiritual oil that he simply burnt out. They remember that one of John's motto was, better to burn out for God than to rust out for self. Well, whichever the case, we need more people like John. John was a mature Christian. Don't you wish you could be like John? A modern parable portrait of a mature Christian. Thought I'd share it with you. Could you take one? Well, we did go a couple of minutes over. Yes. No difference. Super spiritual always claim to have dreams and visions and to slay dragons, and they go overboard because they're more spiritual than they think they're not as spiritual as they think they are. Eric.
I once heard that the difference between a radical and a fanatic is that a radical has a basis for what he believes in and a fanatic doesn't.
Yeah, I've heard it said that fanatic is the one that when he forgets the cause, he redoubles his efforts. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, give us spiritual growth by examining our hearts by your word. Grow us all into mature believers. May we all increase from 30-fold to 60-fold, and by your grace, even 100-fold. May we all imitate the people such as John, so that we may grow closer to the Lord Jesus. In his name. Amen.